Well, welcome. This is your TLA podcast. I'm Beth Turner, your host, and our guests today, David Kopasz and Suzanne Richman. David joins us from Seattle and Suzanne from Vermont. So coast to coast wisdom and information for you today. And welcome to both of you.
Great to be among you, Beth.
Thank you. Wonderful. I want people to know a little bit about who is here today. I want to start with Suzanne. She is an education consultant. She also has had founding roles with Goddard College, located in Vermont. She has expertise and also passions within the realms of trauma, grief, and social activism. She is a self-confessed recovering academic, and I only can imagine this in pictures in my mind because I'd like to see it for real, but homesteading and pruning blueberry bushes and all kinds of fun stuff. So we'll hear more about that, I hope. And David is a doctor and a psychiatrist. He works with veterans providing holistic mental health in the primary care setting. He is also an author and he is a painter. Both actively engaged, and also both of my guests carry voices of wisdom within TLA. And it was actually their unified voice that birthed this podcast. And I want to take David back to a conversation that was held, you know, just within the last week about this actually an invitation or a call into something different than what most of us really want to do. So David, would you please, you know, just to just encapsulate that and let listeners know what you were having in mind and incubating.
Yes, thanks, Beth. It was actually something that I'd heard from a friend of mine, Steve Hunt, who had said, we need to start a movement. It's not about going back. It's about transforming into the future. And so I started to think about this rush back to normality that we have. And is there an opportunity for us to learn and to grow within this crisis?
So the movement would be?
The movement. Oh, yeah. So what would the movement be? And I'm reading this, you know, as I go through different things that I'm reading online and different conversations that I'm having, where people are noticing all these positive things about slowing down, about less of an impact on the environment, about being able to hear birds sing, about cooking and being with family more. So there's a number of different things that are happening that are shifting our awareness back to what's really important to us. Sure, there's things that we miss about the former, quote, normality, but there's also many things that we didn't have a value in that normality.
And Suzanne, you know, just recalling, you know, some of the conversation, this really resounded, you know, for you. So just your thoughts on what David was sharing.
I'm kind of smiling the whole time I listen to David and reflect on what does normal even mean? And so an example would be our governor might be saying on a broadcast, we'll hope to return to normal by the middle of May or in sometime in June. And I say, what does that mean? What is normal? And if we don't begin to explore through this time of pullback, and this extraordinary opportunity for some of us who were privileged to reflect more upon our lives and our own understandings of who we are in relationship to this pandemic and what we bring from ourselves when we go back, when we return into the so-called world out there. The question is, what kind of new world do we want to create rather than go back to normal and the things that weren't working?
So it sounds like really the invitation being, you know, for opportunity, but it seems that there's a hurdle to overcome. And that might be this, you know, maybe it's the chaos that we tend to feel, this uncertainty and a grasping for control. That's just the only things that come to mind. And David, I think that, you know, you were pondering chaos and if it has a role, just your thoughts on chaos.
Yes, I'd read a while back something by Daniel Odier in The Doors of Joy, his Meditations on Authentic Living, and he'd written something really poignant about chaos, and I'll just quote a little bit of it here. He said, "The fear in which our present society lives pushes us to forget about the creative aspects of chaos and to see only disorder and catastrophe. If we go back to Greek mythology, we will be able to see the creativity of chaos and then be able to reintegrate it into our lives. Chaos was here before anything else, a kind of floating and undifferentiated magma filled with suspended energy. By perceiving chaos as energy, we reduce both the fear we have of chaotic states and our desire to suppress strategies to avoid them. Periods of chaos are marvelously creative. By ceasing our desire to control everything, we feel stimulated, encouraged to desire things to emerge. Control emerges out of the fear of feeling fully alive. There is no authentic joy without encountering chaos.
Well, it sounds like he has a mindset that a lot of us could really, you know, could really benefit from. And Suzanne, what would that, you know, after listening to that and, you know, pondering your own thoughts on chaos, what are your reflections and maybe a mindset that might be an invitation for us to carry forward?
I'm still marinating in your original question, Beth, that inspired David's response around uncertainty. And uncertainty, which breaks us off of our, again, that thing that we had, all of our habits and our normal behaviors and our normal responses to our so-called normal world. And once everything switches, the so-called profound disruptions for so many suffering emotionally or psychologically, psychically from losing that which we thought we had. It can trigger a feeling of chaos, a sense of being out of control. But I think actually, and many Zen teachers will say that uncertainty is the ground of our existence. And if we can be with that, it can initiate us into an extraordinary transformative awakening of sorts, a powerful process of reimagination. And I think the reimagination element was present in that lovely quote that David just read. That chaos can be an enormous booster to creative life, creative self, creative relationship, creative reimagination of our personal, interpersonal, cultural, communal, and global community. So what are we learning together as we go through a planet-wide pilgrimage of uncertainty and chaos and unpredictability?
So that is one question. Any other questions that you have, Suzanne, that you might encourage people to be thinking about in this time? Questions they can be asking, you know, of themselves and those closest to them. Why don't we just start there?
That's wonderful to ask a question about questions. What's been holding me close is the question, how are we bearing witness to not only what's happening in our own households or homesteads and the streets we walk on 6 feet apart from our neighbors, but how are we bearing witness to those who are suffering in more amplitude, suffering from losses? My dear colleague and beloved friend Sarah just lost her father, and I'm bearing witness to Sarah, bearing witness now to her father's passing through an iPad as he died of COVID in New York. Or I'm bearing witness to a wonderful friend of mine who's a chaplain as she's driving home from her many days in a row sitting at a respite home for elders where a large clump of folks just passed away from COVID, and she's there trying to bring spiritual and emotional care to the workers and to the patient families. And she's the one trying to hold compassion in the midst of such unbearable grief and unspeakable grief. So one question I'm walking with is, how are we bearing witness?
And just an example, maybe, how do you think that you, using that term, bearing witness, for your friend that's the chaplain, just an example of what that might look like so people can, you know, just kind of carry it a little bit stronger in their hearts or in their thoughts?
Well, all of us are chaplains. All of us are in a position now where we can listen deeply to what others are experiencing without interruption and with a big, wide, open heart, and to give space to people to share their grief. And I'm going to put an S on the back of that word, griefs, because there are multiple kinds of griefs happening right now, which can be great heart-opening experiences. Like, grief can be a huge can opener for the heart. So for me, just being there as a silent witness and going deep into my silence as a way of being present for another who's maybe exhausted, overwhelmed, tapped out, and give them a chance to recharge by bearing witness to and listening to their story from a particularly intense day. And that rehumanizes our lives during a time of uncertainty.
So that's one way of just reflecting before going back. And David, going back to, you know, some things that Suzanne had just said and some questions that we might be wanting to ask ourselves in this time, so that we don't avoid and rush to return instead of, you know, going forward into the new. What are some questions?
Yeah, Suzanne said so many things there. There's a beautiful phrase that she said, this planetary pilgrimage, and mentioned, you know, this initiation that we're all in, and bearing witness and rehumanizing, all these things that are so important. With initiation, I think we have one eye that goes back to look at how things were, that normality, and to say, was that really normal? Were we living our fullest lives in that normality? Robert J. Lifton talks about malignant normality, and he's talking about it in terms of fascism and totalitarianism. But there's also a sense of our normality was malignant in the sense that we had many systems that weren't viable. How could it be that the United States, this supposedly, you know, great nation, that our healthcare system and our financial system could crumble within a couple weeks? To me, that doesn't seem like it was very healthy if it needed a constant increasing stimulus of productivity. If we couldn't go through a quiet time, a fallow time like we have in nature. And I think an eye of initiation looks to the future to see what is it that we could become. And that question, it's more about that question, what is it that we are in the process of becoming, rather than having an answer. Normality shuts down questions a lot of times. Carl Jung talked about psychotherapy as the third stage of it was to help somebody adapt to normality, but really the fourth stage of psychotherapy was to grow beyond normality, to individuate, for an individual person to bring forth what's within them out into the world, so that they can fulfill themselves. And in being fulfilled, they are filled with kind of sacredness, divinity, that then they can give to others. So one of the questions I think we're facing is, how separate do we want to be and how interconnected do we want to be? The virus is teaching us we're all interconnected. It's a little bit of a negative lesson right now. But how socially distant do we want to be in our daily lives? Even in the pre-virus times, the quote normality, we were very social distanced. Many of us were living in our own worlds. So how can we all come together to recognize ourselves as interconnected? And so I said, for initiation, there's an eye looking backward and an eye looking forward. And the kind of precious thing about initiation is then you have a third eye as well. And this third eye is to look deeply within. And it's the mystical eye. And it can start to see this interconnection, to look beyond the surface and to see the things below the surface and to see the things, the hidden things within the heart.
And the very interesting thing is that this all can be done in the span of chaos, when we think we may need peace in order to do the things that you, you know, have mentioned, David. And I just want to, you know, ask Suzanne if there's anything that David had said that you wanted to expand on, just with some parting thoughts about, you know, the eye intention, the eyes of intention, this process, and how interconnected or how separate we want to be. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that is connecting us all is this liminal state of what's happening in our world, and referring to initiation, as David did, brings up that quality of what is liminality. We're all in this place of, I can't say we're all. I can say I am, and everybody I talk to is in a state of liminality, of a place between stories, between worlds, between the old one that we knew when we were free to move about and go to the grocery store without masks and without needing to wonder what somebody else is, quote, carrying, and all these strange hypervigilant spaces that we find ourselves moving through and in and out of. We're definitely in a space beyond what we knew. In late February, early March, we were living completely different lives. So how do we take this opportunity where we're united in uncertainty and liminality and use it, as David said, as an initiatory process to move through and discover ourselves in the eye of the storm and not just in the storm? And from the eye of the storm, what will we see that we can bring back, that we can bring forward to the world when we emerge? And then maybe go back a little, back again into our retreat, and then emerge again as these waves of presence of our dear friend Corona show up in our communities. And
as you both said, as being, you know, a teacher, and that's even part of birthing, you know, there's a wide span, then a narrow, you know, wide. And that is, you know, part of the creativity process too. And it can happen, and it does happen, as David and you, Suzanne, both mentioned, very much in the midst of chaos, and that can be the fertile ground of it. So I just want to thank you. I want to let people know, let listeners know, that there is more on this topic of COVID and uncertainty and the so-called rush to return to normalcy. So you can listen right here. David and Suzanne will also be talking about what is at stake at this invitation to pause and to really settle into the eye of that storm. What happens if this is skipped altogether? And also they will be talking about what things might look like if it's actually embraced, if it's embraced within this planetary pilgrimage, and it all begins, you know, within each one of us. So my thanks again to both of you today, and also their message, and of course also the wider message of TLA. We are a network devoted to creating new and also meaningful ways of being together right now, even while we're apart.